Hello, everybody. This is Lisa Krueger with the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to this edition of our Chamber podcast. Today, I have two very special guests here in the studio with me who I'd like to introduce, and then we're going to get into a great conversation about partnership and how partnership is something that's a necessity in government. So first of all, I would like to introduce our mayor, Cal Sheehy. Little bit about Cal. He is originally from Michigan, but he moved to Lake Havasu City when he was in high school. Cal has a bachelor's degree and a master's degree from the University of Phoenix. His day job is that he's the vice president and general manager of London Bridge Resort, and he's a huge community supporter. Our other amazing guest is Representative Leo Biasucci. Leo is a Havasu native, born and raised, grew up here. He has been serving in the Arizona House of Representatives since he was elected back in 2018, started his term in 2019, and he's been somewhat of a maverick and a trailblazer, so we are super proud of him. Leo is a University of Arizona graduate, and he comes from a family of educators and entrepreneurs. So very happy to be here today with these two gentlemen. And we are going to talk a little bit about how a community is more successful if there is teamwork involved. And so that's why I wanted to invite the two of you in today. So we're going to just have a conversation. So Cal, I'm going to start with you. So why don't you tell us, how is it helpful for the city government to have a good working relationship with our state legislators?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Lisa, and I'm happy to be here. You know, partnerships are so important at all levels of government, and we are very fortunate in Lake Havasu City to have great partnerships with our state representatives and our state senator. We work hand in hand on policy issues of statewide concern that Representative Biasucci, Senator Borelli, and Representative Cobb are working on down at the state legislature. And the great thing for us is that two of our representatives actually live in Lake Havasu City. So this is their home. This is where we see them at the grocery store, at events, or throughout the community. So we have a shared mutual interest to make our area and our region stronger. And we know we can do that through partnerships, and it's been very successful for us.
So Leo, do you want to make a comment on that?
Yeah, first, you know, make the record straight, I do not like Cal at all. We have no relationship. I'm kidding. No, this is probably, you know, one of the greatest things that we have right now within our government, whether it's local and at the state level. You know, when I ran a few years ago, this was kind of the message that I know I was pushing, Sunny was pushing, Gina was about teamwork and how it's so important to have these relationships. Because you go down to the legislature and we get confronted all the time by other legislators who come to us when they see Sunny, Gina, and I talking on the floor together, and they say, we don't even have that kind of relationship with our own, you know, people, our own legislators, let alone mayors. And so it's so important that I can call Cal, I can call David Lane, I can even call you, Lisa. I mean, it's great to have these relationships because when things come through the legislature, laws, we want to be able to reach out to you guys and say, hey, what do you think? What needs to be changed? And this is why I think we've been so successful these last 3 years in getting so many things accomplished. Because we have these great relationships with each other. So it's vital, and it's been a great success.
That's awesome to hear. We haven't always had that in our community between the legislature and the city council. So I think that's a wonderful thing that we've developed that relationship so well. So we're talking about that relationship and those conversations. Kind of how often do you all talk to each other? Cal, how often do you call? And I know it probably depends on whatever bill you're working on or whatever local issue we are facing here at home. But
yeah, no, it's, you know, it could be as often as every single day, which I've talked to Leo every single day this week so far. Our schedules have just been in sync, and we've had multiple meetings as Leo prepares for the upcoming session on what the priorities are for Lake Havasu City and how Leo can be helpful in that process. So, you know, it's actually all the time and as needed. So I know where Leo stands on issues. He knows where I stand on issues. I'm here to assist him in any way that I can. He assists me in any way. And I said the other night when he was giving a legislative update to the city council as a whole, you know, most of my conversations with Leo are at 10 o'clock at night when he's out of committee and out of out of his day's work, and we're able to talk about whatever might be occurring at the legislature, because it moves so fast when it's down there. Fortunately, at the local level, we are a little bit slower, which is a good thing. It allows our citizens to engage in the process and be a part of the conversation at every step of the way. So it's not as urgent for Leo to reach out to us on the local issues, because we intentionally go slow to engage the entire community. We're down at the legislature, not Leo and his team, but other legislators are moving things through quick.
Yeah, and you know, and Cal makes a point about, you know, moving quick, and a lot of people don't understand. They kind of confuse us with the federal level, where they're in session year round. We're in session in January. We usually end around April, May. This year was a little bit longer because we had 2 years combined, because we had a skinny budget during the COVID and we got shut down and whatnot. So usually we're there 3-4 months, and so this is why it's so fast. Like, you have all the bills you got to run through, thousands of bills, and so it's a quick process. So, you know, obviously Cal and I, we talk quite a bit, but during session it's obviously a little more intense, because you have all these bills coming through, and it's, like I said, it's great that we have that relationship, and we can talk to each other year round. So
when you are down in Phoenix and it's during the session, do you and Representative Cobb and Senator Borelli, do you guys like hang out together, or how does that work?
Right, we try not to. No, I mean, it's it's tough. I mean, you're part of committees. I mean, I'm the majority whip. Senator Borelli is the majority whip in the Senate. Gina is a part of appropriations. So we have all these different responsibilities. So it's difficult to see each other and hang out per se, but you know, we see each other every day. And so we can jump into each other's office and talk on the, but a lot of times our conversations are happening on the floor during set, like we're in session, we've gaveled in, and Sunny will come over and pull us aside and we'll talk there, because I mean, it is just so intense, because you have lobbyists, you have constituents, you have phone calls, you have all these different parts of the pieces of the puzzle that are happening. So hanging out, not so much, but you know, we do get to see each other and talk to each other pretty frequently. So
that's great. We always enjoy it when we bring our small group down for Legislature Day for all the chambers from across the state. And I know that most industry groups do that as well. Yeah. So I think that you also enjoy having us there,
it.
You know, so that's always kind of a highlight for us. And hopefully we'll get to do that in 2022, because we really missed it in 2021.
Yeah, it should be back next year. I know the restrictions were all lifted. And we love seeing constituents and seeing you guys, because, you know, a lot of times we're just indulged in this, you know, whole mess going down there. And so it's great to break away a little bit and just kind of talk to you guys and have lunch and hang out. So it's a great thing.
Good. So I know the city is active in the League of Arizona Cities and Towns, and Cal, I'm not sure if you have a leadership position perhaps with that organization still, right?
Yes, I am on the board for the executive committee for the league.
But I also know that sometimes the league has positions on certain issues that don't always align with perhaps what the majority of the legislature is looking at. I'm not going to bring up any specific things, but can you guys talk to us a little bit about how you handle those difficult situations when perhaps, even though we're all, you know, rooting for Havasu or your district or Mojave County or whatever, how do you guys come together if you have to agree to disagree?
Well, you know, we come at it with a level head.
Yeah.
And so our end goal is the same. And certainly at the local level, we're advocating for local control to allow our citizens to guide the process and how we govern within our local community. At the legislature, they're doing the opposite. They're taking statewide concern and limiting the city's ability and the end, the citizens' ability to self-govern. So sometimes we are going to be on opposite sides. And there's just a few that I think that we even were.
Right.
But generally, in my experience, at least with Leo and Sonny and Gina, is they'll compromise if it's of importance to Mojave County, La Paz County, and or our city specifically. And there's other times that I compromise and don't take a position. You know, we're all in this for the same
right.
thing and the end result. And I completely understand and appreciate where Leo and Sonny and Gina are at and what they're having to go through. They may have to vote a certain way on a certain bill. so that they can get another bill passed through that is going to be beneficial to our area. And so I know people don't like to hear that, but that's right. just how the sausage is made.
Right.
And they're down there making it. And so I have to appreciate and support their efforts in doing that. And I'm proud to do so.
Yeah. And I think that's it's why it's so great to have this relationship. We talked about this respect for each other, because it's true. Like, there's times we're not going to agree. There's times I don't agree with Sunny. There's times I don't agree with Gina on certain things. But we all have respect for each other, which I think is key, right? We keep that relationship. We say, look, I just can't support this, but I'm going to be straightforward with you. I'm going to tell you why. And so we're not sitting here yelling at each other. We don't bash each other. We don't go in the media and say, you know, Sonny is an idiot because he's doing, I mean, we don't do that because we understand how important it is to have the respect for each other, because rural Arizona is always fighting against the great state of Maricopa. We always, you know, have that saying, and it's true. If we don't have a team that sticks together, we'll never get anything done. And so we all three understand that. And I know you guys all understand that down here with Cal and in the council, why it's so important to have that respect for each other. So that's really number one priority. Have respect. And, you know, if you don't agree with something, you're going to be honest, straightforward. And you always try to compromise. I mean, that's something I've learned in the legislature, is you can't always have it your way, the exact way you want it. And a lot of times constituents will come and say, you know, why didn't you do this, this, and this? And you have to explain, you know, you have 31, 16, and one. People always, I always remind them that you have 31 in the House votes that you need to pass a bill, 16 in the Senate, and a governor that needs to sign it. So to have all 31, 16, and one on your idea completely is extremely hard. This is why it's hard to get bills across the finish line. So you have to compromise, and we understand that.
Yeah, we also do some relationship building as well. So through Leo's contacts and Sonny's contacts and Gina's contacts, and then, of course, my contacts, I work out and work with other legislators as well.
Right.
So if there is something that one of the three that represent our district aren't going to be able to support on our behalf, I have relationships with other district legislators that maybe can help push that forward. And there's been times that I've asked Leo, I know you're not going to support it, just don't go out publicly against it.
Right.
So, and he's done that for me. Yeah. So, so it just depends on the situation. There's some things that he needs from me and asks me to say, you know, I know you're not on board, Cal, but, you know, don't go out and publicly oppose it.
Right.
And we're able to do that. Yeah. And at the end of the day, the right things happen, because we have committees and we have community engagement, and it's all in service to our citizens. And so at the end of the day, it always works out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen it in other situations, other districts where, like I said, it's the opposite, where they're, you know, their representatives don't get along with the mayors and city council, and there's a public battle going on, and it doesn't do anybody good.
No,
ever.
No, it doesn't. And you guys could like give lessons on how to do this, I think.
Right.
So, because, you know, I think another part of that piece too, as far as the respect is, you know, I think as your constituents here in Lake Havasu City or the district or around the county, you know, we have to understand that you do this because you're really good at it, number one, but number two, you had a desire to serve.
Right.
So everybody needs to understand that, you know, rather than just the constant complaining is, you know, when they call you, I hope that they sometimes have a solution or a potential solution other than just complaining about something. So.
Right.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the lovely pandemic, because we are continuing to work through some situations involving the pandemic, and not all the restrictions that have been placed on us over the past 18 months or so or related issues have been popular with business, as you know. So how difficult has it been to stay in a positive relationship with your constituents or our local business persons?
Yeah, I could start there.
Yep.
We, I think it, when the pandemic first began, it was new to everybody, businesses, citizens, government, leaders. And so everyone was starting at the same point. So I think initially we can appreciate what that looks like. When it started coming down to closing the country down, and then the governors closing down states, you know, we were really in a bad position, because we had the president and his team, you know, spending 3, 4, 5 hours a day on prime TV with our citizens watching that. And then we had the governor also getting airtime speaking about the directions of the state of Arizona. And we didn't have that same platform as legislators or as mayors and city councils. And so we were at a disadvantage to have that direct communication. But we quickly found our way, and through partnerships with the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce, we did not podcasts, but we did call-in webinars. We really connected with the community. And then we decided we would have to band together. And so Representative Biasucci, Senator Borelli, Representative Cobb, and the local leaders started putting together outreach with gym owners, specifically bar owners, some of the business sectors that were really hardest hit by government closures, again, done at the state level, where we weren't able to control how or what. And so we were able to bring together those stakeholders to be able to get those places reopened safely, have guidance that was there, and try and bring a little bit of certainty to those business owners when the world was so uncertain.
Right.
And so those were the initial days. And then I know, Leo, and you and your team got to work legislatively when session opened.
Yeah, and I think it was probably the most difficult part is, you know, when you want to have that respect for, you know, your colleagues, and you don't have the respect for the governor. And so when a lot of these rulings started to come down of, you know, shutting down, and you know, the governor's people, or I guess the liquor board and whatnot, coming through and giving citations, that was tough, because everything in my body wants to shout and be like, this is ridiculous, this is, you know, and just bash. But we had to work behind the scenes, and it was hard because a lot of people were saying, what are you doing? You're doing nothing. You're letting this happen. And we're trying to say, no, we are. And this is what, you know, especially, you know, Sonny, Gina, and I did. We went behind the scenes to the governor's team and said, you cannot, you're having this, you know, one size fits all idea of shut down this place. You know, the Walmarts can stay open, but the small mom and pop can't. And that was what we were really mad about, because we said, here you are, you're saying that a Walmart knows how to handle this situation, which really nobody did. This was so new, but, you know, a True Value or a small couldn't. And we said, that's not right. You know, this is not okay. And so we were pushing back and pushing back, especially the bar situation. I mean, Sunday night we're calling the governor's office weekly saying, you know, you cannot shut these guys down. You can't come here and give citations. Let them figure it out. You know, this was always my thing was, look, a business is smart enough to take the precautions they need to make sure the customers are safe. If the customers aren't safe, they're not going to go there. And if they don't go there, they're out of business. So it would be advantageous for companies and businesses to say, all right, we're going to do this, this, and this. We're going to make sure you feel safe. But the, you know, for the hand of government to come down, and I get it. I mean, it was new. We didn't know what we were dealing with. I understand, you know, that aspect. But, you know, really it was a lot of work behind the scenes, and it worked. I mean, thankfully the governor's office understood, and we were able to lift that for the businesses. And I mean, that's the bloodline of our country, of our state, are these small businesses. I mean, this is what makes this country thrive. And so to shut them down, it was probably the most difficult thing I've experienced in this whole pandemic, was seeing those guys close their doors and struggle and complain. And it was tough. It was a tough for everybody, I think.
Yeah. Nearly 85% of our businesses in Lake Havasu are small businesses,
right,
and were impacted. And
right.
So, you know, while we were working behind the scenes through the state efforts and led by Leo and Sonny and Gina, we were also trying to stand up resources here locally. And so we partnered with a variety of different organizations to bring the resources from the federal government to those businesses so that they could get their staff on unemployment if that was a pathway for them. They could get CARES money if that was a pathway for them. Lisa, you and your team were really active with the city to ensure that those resources were known and available. And then we were able to create the Resource Alliance, which was a local partnership between the city, the Chamber of Commerce, Better Business Bureau, Havasu Community Health Foundation, and United Way. And all of those organizations together were able to actually bring direct relief to citizens and businesses that were having issues. So it was a multifaceted approach, but it was very challenging and
right.
very disheartening that we had to do it.
Right.
And then to try and find the balance of like, what's the balance of the health of your community and the economy and people's just way of life.
Right.
You know, people were waking up with no purpose.
Right.
Because their business was just shut down arbitrarily by, with not a good way to understand it.
Right.
And so So it was a collaboration with, including the businesses. I mean, the businesses weren't just sitting down waiting for someone to do something. I mean, they were pivoting, yep. They were innovating, they were changing the way they operate, and we were doing everything at the city level to get out of the way and change codes to allow them to move out to the sidewalks, right. If that made sense, or to do extension of premises for liquor sales, if that made sense. So I think it was a multifaceted approach with everyone just saying, I can offer this,
right?
And we did that.
I think it's definitely been a learning experience, yes, for everyone. And I guess my comment on that would just be, you know, so we get through COVID, then now I think we'll be better prepared for, sure, what comes next, because we all know something will come next. So,
of course. Yes. And I think the key is, I mean, we personally, this is me, I don't think we could go back to that model of shutting down completely ever again. I mean, I think we all learned that was not the right way to handle it. You know, we need to, you know, I think, but we learned along the way, we figured things out, what worked, what doesn't work. And like you said, we're going to be prepared this time around, I think, if something happens.
Yeah. I couldn't even believe it was happening.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. When I would be saying, remarks to our citizens, and as I'm saying the words, as they're falling out of my mouth, I couldn't even believe I was saying, right, some of these things.
I know.
So, yeah. But at the time we just didn't know.
Right.
And that was what the guidance, yeah, was. And you're trying to offer hope and assurance, and it was just a really strange time.
We're, yeah, all waiting, tough, for the dreaded, you know, Tuesday or Thursday afternoon press conference.
Oh, I know, right?
You know, I'm glad we're not doing that anymore, because frankly, I mean, in our building, it was just we just all shut down and gathered in one room to watch TV to see what was the next blow.
Yes.
So
yeah, the same
hopefully
thing.
We don't have to go through,
well,
that.
Well, people
process.
Were criticizing at the time, like, then there would be a week it wouldn't happen. I was applauding that. Right. I was like, thank goodness. You know, we at least have some certainty for another week. Yeah. But yeah, those press conferences, we would listen to them as elected officials,
right,
at the same time our citizens were, and there would be directives given there that we were supposed to implement, right, or, right, do something with. And we had to make really quick, fast decisions to get the proper guidance out to the business community and our citizens based on whatever was coming from those news conferences.
Yeah, and that was difficult because from the legislature side, I mean, you know, we have three branches of government, you know, and we're one branch, but we were never involved in those conversations or what was happening. So like Cal said, we found out through the press conference. And so when we're scrambling, that's one thing I've been very clear with the governor's office. I said, you know, you cannot have that happen again. Like, we have to be at the table for anything, so we know what's going on, so we know how to prepare before you come out. But, you know, and they've admitted, like, we made a mistake, we should have included you guys, but, you know, it's like I said, it's all a learning process, and hopefully, you know, we'll handle it a little better next time. So
okay, let's shift a little bit to what came out of this session that ended late in,
right,
June. So
day before.
Yeah, so I know that there were there was big progress made on the Highway 95 improvements. And I know that,
yeah,
Leo, I know that you were instrumental in making that happen, but I also believe that there was a big partnership,
yeah,
between other, you know, between the city and organizations like the chamber that supported that process.
Right.
So,
yeah, which is huge. I mean, it's, you know, this is the part where we need the help from, you know, Cal and Tom and everybody else, the chamber, because, you know, like I mentioned before, the great state of Maricopa exists, and they're always fighting rural. And I tell the story because I think it's, you know, it just kind of explains to the people how hard this is. You know, when this bill first came up, I brought it to committee, and it died 3-10 or 3-7, something along those lines. And the excuse was, not the excuse, but the reasoning that it was given by the other legislators who on that panel, I think there were maybe two from rural, the rest were big city people. They were just like, oh, you don't need this money. We're looking at this report from ADOT from 2015. It says your roads are in average condition. And I'm just sitting there fuming because they don't know, right? They have no idea. And I know, but, you know, and I know Cal spoke and he's trying to explain to him, like, look, our roads are in terrible condition. It's been 20 years, but they didn't care. They were just, you know, these are Republicans as well as Democrats. It's not like, you know, it was just the Dems that voted no. And so that day I came home that weekend and, you know, I was so angry and I was still in my suit from the Capitol and I'm taking pictures on the side of the highway up and down like some weirdo and, you know, but I'm like, I knew I had to do this. And so I took those photos back to the Capitol the next week, brought the bill back, and Gina was the chair. And so she brought me right back to the calendar and I gave him all the photos. I said, first of all, here's the reality. And I took pictures of, you know, what we have here in Havasu, especially. And I said, second of all, that report's from 2015. It's now 2021. So anything that's average is now poor. And then it passed 10-0, like, after that. But it's incredible. And I don't think people understand, like, how difficult it is. And there's a reason why it's been 20 years since parts of this highway have been redone. And so that was a one thing that when I got into, you know, I tried the other, you know, a year ago when I first got in to do this. But, you know, it's great to be, you know, from a city, right? I'm from Lake Havasu. I understand this area. I can go and fight because I know what we have in front of us. And because of all this group effort of you guys putting pressure and, you know, and Gina doing her thing and Sunny putting pressure, we were able to get across the finish line. And that was huge. It was huge.
Yeah, Leo was steadfast in that. I was at the committee hearing remotely because that's all right. The only way that it was allowed. And yeah, when it just went down, I mean, they gave like zero consideration for it during that first vote.
Yeah.
It was like, nope, you don't need it. Why are you wasting our time? It was very dismissive, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, you know, this is a job of government. If there's anything, you know, infrastructure is key. And, you know, people don't understand, like Havasu, there's one way in, there's one way out. Like there's, you know, it's not like Phoenix where you have all these multiple routes and areas and all this extra tax revenue. And so for me, if it's one of those things where you put a bill forward and you're thinking, well, this is a slam dunk, like this, and then this pushback comes and that's what probably made me more angry than anything. I'm like, what, are you guys crazy? Like, I mean, but you know, it took that extra effort, and I wasn't going to give up. I'm not somebody who likes to lose at anything. And so luckily, you know, we got back there and the governor agreed to put the funding towards it, and we got it done. So hopefully it'll start next year. We're in the works right now of talking about what areas are, you know, we need the most work at. And so that ball is already starting to get rolling, and it's a huge win for
sure. It is a huge win. And thank you for both of you for getting involved in that. I'm going to date myself, but when I first came to work here in Havasu at the Chamber, that was one of the first things I had to do was speak at the grand opening of the 20, when it happened 20 years ago, like they had like a big grand opening party to dedicate the new cool highway, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it has 20 years. So no wonder we have potholes and uneven surfaces. And so I think we should all give you a huge round of applause for doing that, because it means a lot to us, not just from a public safety standpoint, but, you know, from a tourism standpoint and all those other things. It's just, you know, the appearance of your community is so vital.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And certainly I understand the great state of Maricopa, and I'm not going to ask you a water question, but same thing.
it's true. Yeah. I mean, the water, I mean, we saw that 2 years ago, and thank goodness we have Gina, Sunny, and I, like I said, who work together, because they were trying to steal the water from the Harquahala aquifer, which is out in La Paz County. Huge groundwater that exists. I think it's two or three times the size of Lake Mead. I mean, it's ginormous. But again, this is Maricopa County legislators saying, we're going to come take your water. And, you know, we had to stand up and say, you're not. And it's unfortunate that it's the case, but you really have to sit there and say, you have to say, well, we're off the budget if you try to do that. But, you know, a lot of times you don't have legislators that have that, you know, will to push back and say, you're not taking, they'll just, you know, okay, fine. But, you know, this is important. This is our water is, we need that here. This is our water. If they can't manage it themselves, they need to figure out another way to get their water somewhere else. So it's always going to be a battle. It won't stop anytime soon.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
We've been for years with the legislative agenda that Arizona Chamber executive stuff. We've been begging to get something on our water statements in the combined agenda that the river community should be involved in the process. And
100%.
So finally the rest of our state chambers agreed to that this year. So when you see our agenda, that is included, that one of the bullet points is that river communities be at the table.
And this year is going to be big. I know Gina's been trying to push some bills protecting our water, and we haven't been successful because you have other people in leadership who are part of the great state of Maricopa. But I think this year we talked and we said, look, because Gina's termed out, unfortunately, after this next year. And so we know we have to do something this year. We have to put something in the books, get it passed. And if it's going to take, you know, Gina pulling some teeth.
Literally.
Yeah. She's good like that.
Yeah. you know, we're going to do it because we understand how important this is. And we put aside, I think it's $200 million to figure out the water situation. So we have a committee starting hopefully this year to figure out what route we want to go, whether it's brackish, whether it's pumping water from the Mississippi, which is an option, which is a good option, because you have those states who contacted us and they tell us, hey, we flood every year. Like every year the Mississippi is flooding. It's destroying property. We're spending millions and millions to stop this and fix the damages. And so they said, why don't we work together where we can help with funding and we can figure out a way to pump. And obviously the water in Mississippi is different from the Colorado. You have to make sure you figure that part out and whether clean it and whatnot. But that's a really viable option. I mean, you're talking obviously some pipeline that you need to pump over, but brackish is not easy. You got to do desalinization for that because it's obviously more, or you go down to south and figure out the ocean water. Those are all very, very expensive. So we're going to have a committee this year put together to figure out what's the best option and then move forward. So
yeah, water issues across the state are so complicated. And so I've been leading an effort on rural water communities coming together because there are some things we agree on, and it's conservation, maybe groundwater. And groundwater doesn't really impact Lake Havasu so much, but it does impact others. And so if they have protections for their groundwater, they'll quit looking at us, hopefully. So we're trying to find those areas that of mutual interest that we can help lead that legislation that Gina is going to be doing next year.
Right.
So we're working on a variety of different fronts on what that water policy looks like at the state level, all the while fighting off any water transfers off of the main stem of the river water, because these water entitlements, especially for like Havasu City and other river communities, we went after and purchased them. So citizens purchased these water entitlements, and forward-thinking councils long before our current council purchased enough water to fulfill our entire general plan and land build out based on the land holdings in our area. So we're in a good position, and we've been leaders in conservation in this area, and we need others to follow suit.
Right.
And so those are the types of efforts we're doing at the local level while Leo and his team work at the state level to change law to make sure that it supports that.
I know you don't want to go into water, but
it's okay. We're just going to roll right on to something else. So I know that that Leo, when you spoke at City Council the other night, you talked about the amount of money in the budget for education. And while I realize that the city does not have a direct role in funding for education, that's a big amount of money.
A lot of money. A big part of it was from the feds as well. So they had a big pump of money into that. But yeah, it's the most money that's ever been put into our educational system in the history of Arizona. And so, like you mentioned earlier, I come from a family of educators. Education is extremely important to me. But at the same time, we have to make sure the money is being spent properly, right? You need, have a fiscal responsibility when how the money is being spent, where it's going. And, it's a weird situation right now. You have, the mask and vaccine mandates that the schools are kind of trying to buck the system with what we intended. There's a lawsuit now. And I know the governor is trying to, put more money to other resources for other sources of education, whether it's homeschooling or private. But bottom line, I think the part that I struggle the most with is, there's this battle, right, of homeschool and private school and charter schools and public schools, where I wish it was more of a joint effort where we can all work together and figure out what's best. Because not all our children, they learn the same way. Some are better at the home environment. Some are better at charter. Some are better at private. Some are better in public. Or maybe there's a hybrid of all of that, right? A student can go to the high school and take a class. I just wish that this fighting would stop. And we can say, look, it's about the student. How do we give them the best opportunity to learn, regardless of where they get their education from? It's a pipe dream, but it's something that I hope we can achieve.
It's got to start somewhere. From the chamber viewpoint that I look at is that bond between education and, of course, the workforce. And so the more we can do to make that pipeline better, then the better off we will all be. And I'm 100%. Not sure everyone always understands that. But we got to keep working on that.
I agree.
So
we have a lot of local programs that are fantastic, too, when it comes to K-12. Although, as Lisa mentioned, we don't have any direct responsibility. They're two different political subdivisions. We have great partnerships with our Parks and Rec programs. So we have after-school care and programming for our students. We have partnerships on the way that fields are maintained. And then, Lisa, if you want to talk about your partnership with the local school district for internships, That's another great program that we do as a community at the local level.
Well, and thank you. You know, I wasn't really going to turn this to me, but we do have the Career Explorations Internship Program. So we call it CEI because that's much easier to say. But every year since, I think, 4 years ago, we have placed 20 high school juniors and seniors in businesses around town. And we call it an internship program, but it's only for 6 weeks. So it's kind of a job shadow / internship program. But it gives the students an opportunity to explore a career that they might be interested in. So maybe they're undecided between teaching and hospitality.
Sure.
So they choose which one they would prefer to be in, and then we put them in that role. And it's been really successful. And it also is not just geared at the top 10% of the senior class. It's anybody can apply. So we have had students that have, you know, 1.8 GPAs, and then we've had students that are in the top 5 ranking in the class. So it's really been a great program. Thank you.
Yeah, and Councilmember Moses is part of the process to facilitate how do you interview and how do you dress and how do you fill out that, and then they have to sit in front of a panel to get interviewed.
Have to shake our hands. Although we asked this year when we did the interviews, we're like, are you comfortable shaking hands? Because we didn't want to put anybody in a situation where they were uncomfortable.
Yeah, so it's a really great real world experience that our local students are able to get, and our local businesses are able to benefit from either relationships or for maybe a future employee that's in the pipeline once they are able to be in that pipeline.
Well, and I think that was important that happened, and it's a great thing because, you know, with the COVID situation, you had a lot of students that were at home, right? I mean, I have a nephew of mine who hates school, like just does not like it at all. But I think 3 months into online, I mean, he looks at me one day and he's like, I hate this. Like, I hate that I'm not interacting with my friends. I hate that I'm not in, you know, face to face with people. I mean, that's who we are. I mean, especially in this country. I mean, we're people who we love to interact. We're go getters. We're entrepreneurs. We want that interaction. And COVID really like threw a curveball at that. And I think that affected people negatively, especially our children. And so, you know, I think it's great to have a program where they're out with the businesses and they figure out, you know, as an 18-year-old, you don't know what you want to do. I mean, you know, you're so young and you don't understand, but the program, I love that because it gives them the opportunity to test the waters. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't want to go to college and they want to become a welder, or maybe they do want to go to college and become a manager of a hotel, like whatever the case may be. I think it's crucial that we have that kind of program. So well done.
Thank you. That was a product of the Vision 2020 plan that we did a few years ago. So, all right. I know I've kept you guys here for a long time.
That's right.
So let's wrap this up. Let's just talk about what's coming up in 2022, because I know that we all have a mutual concern about short-term vacation rentals.
Yes.
So
yes.
I know that we're all working kind of along that line. So you guys want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
And then we'll let you get back to running the state and the city.
Excellent. Yes, short-term rentals is certainly a concern that many communities across Arizona are feeling based on Arizona state law. But communities across the world are having impacts because of short-term rentals and what that looks like. And like Havasu City, we come at it from a different angle. We're not trying to get rid of short-term rentals. We're not trying to do anything that's going to be harmful to folks that want to enter into that market. Short-term rentals have been a part of the history of Lake Havasu City since the 70s, when people would come at that time, they'd call it the river, and they'd come up to this area and might rent a home for a weekend or a week here and there. But what we are trying to do is be able to have controls in place that we can continue to keep the fabric of our community together. So our neighborhoods are neighborhoods and not business districts. And that those that choose to use this avenue are doing it in a responsible way that our neighbors in that neighborhood can sleep at night. And in 2014, the city adopted an ordinance that helped regulate short-term rentals. It gave certainty to the short-term rental hosts or the owners of short-term rentals. It gave good guidance to those that rented it. And it also allowed the neighbors to be able to have clear expectations on noise levels and trash and transportation and party homes and all of those types of things. Worked out great until 2016, when the state decided that they knew better. And they passed a bill. This is before Leo.
I was there, just for the record.
Yeah, before Leo was there. and they passed a bill, and it has been disastrous ever since. And so for the last 3 years, the Arizona League of Cities and Towns, other organizations, cities have all tried to push legislation, but it's not making its way through it. The governor is very supportive of sharing economies, which is included in the short-term rentals. And so we engaged with Leo, and he's agreed to take the lead. And also Senator Borelli then jumped on and is going to run the companion bill in the Senate that will give basically three provisions of short-term rentals. We know it's not going to solve the issue for the entire state, and it's not going to solve the entire issue for attainable housing efforts or for neighborhood connections. But we know it's a good start, and we know that the governor will sign it. And because I am elected and political, I'm going to make a political statement. We just need to, next year during the election cycle, ensure that we vet all of the candidates for governor and that the candidates all agree, or the candidate that you so choose agrees in local control or agrees that they will address the short-term rental to a level that really will make it work for the state. But in the meantime, it's really three pretty simple things. It's creating a notification process that homeowners within a 300-foot radius of a short-term rental are notified, that the city has the 24-hour contact information as well, that there, if the city so chooses to include in an ordinance, a sign on the short-term rental. So if someone's moving into a neighborhood or looking to purchase real estate and that is something that they don't support, then they know full well before they get their things unpacked and go to sleep for the first night and realize it's a short-term rental next door. And then also requirement for a business license and to have their TPT or their transaction privilege tax certificate on file with the city. So state law already requires them to have the TPT license, but it doesn't require them to have it with the city. So we think with those three areas that it's palatable to the legislature. We think that it's the governor will sign it as well. We're hopeful. These are all very forward thinking statements. Anything can happen when Leo gets to work in January and starts making this happen. But it seems pretty basic, but we've had other basic things happen to us that didn't pass as well. So, but yeah, I appreciate Leo taking the
absolutely. Lead on it. And, you know, for the last 2-3 years, they've been trying to fix it at the legislature. And every year the bill is just died a nasty death. I'm talking, I think last year was like 7-43 or 53 or whatever it was. But the problem is they're trying to get too much government control. They're saying, you know, we want sound decibel meters in the home that's connected to the police department and that they get triggered every time the decimal. I mean, just crazy big government stuff. And so the key here is, and it's, we got to figure out that balancing act of, you know, we don't want too much government. We just want enough to figure out, you know, help with the issue. And so that's going to be the part that we figure out. And, you know, we've already started having meetings and trying to see what we want the language to be, just enough to where we can get a little more control locally. Because, I mean, I think we all agree that bill that passed in 16 was a disaster. And, you know, it's, and sometimes that happens. Sometimes a bill goes through and you don't see the unintended consequences. The question is, I mean, do you have, you know, can you put the egos aside and say we messed up, let's fix it? Or if they're just going to continue on this path of, you know, really destroying communities. I mean, look at Sedona. Look at Havasu. I mean, you have people who, workers that can't even afford to rent a place. I mean, the chefs, the really the meat and bones of the, you know, the workforce. They're driving from Yucca and Kingman and all these other areas to get here. And that's, you can't have that. I mean, people are going to start leaving. And then we're in some deep trouble if that happens. So we're going to try to fix it this year. And try to get something done across the finish line, even if it's something minimal. So,
well, even if it's minimal, it's a start. Right. So that's how we have to look at all of these things. So.
I agree.
All right. Well, I am very grateful for your time today. And again, this is Representative Leo Biasucci and our Mayor Cal Sheehy. I always just call them by their first names because I feel like I've known them forever. So I also want to give a big shout out to Sean Lawless at 32 Bravo for working with us on this podcast project. I think that this is going to be an extremely popular podcast to hear the two of you, and I know it will be done wonderfully because Sean is a wonderful professional. So with that, everybody have a great day, and thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Lisa Kruger with the Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Here is the Pod Squad responsible for today's broadcast.
Kathy Tippett,
Michelle Schneider,
Nikki Nichols,
and Amanda Mahaffey.